This afternoon, I thought it'd be great if we talked about faith and work. And so, with that in mind, I'll keep that open, your outline open, with Genesis on one side and the passages, and also a little outline on the other side. And after this sermon as well, there'll be a chance for questions. So if you think of something during this, then write it down. And if I don't address it or you want to follow that up, feel free to ask it at the end. So I wonder what your attitude to your work is right now. Maybe you're hating it right now, and you're dreading the fact that tomorrow is Monday and you've got to get back there. Or maybe you're loving your work right now. You just can't get enough of it. And I think there's kind of two extremes here. I mean, some people in our culture think that work is a necessary evil which needs to be avoided as much as possible. And so a successful or a lucky person is seen as somebody who is able to retire from work at an early age, maybe 50 or 55 years old, so they can spend the rest of their life not working, but having fun instead. But other people love work. They just keep doing it. Like my grandfather, he's a farmer. He's 85 years old, and he's working full-time still. He has been since he was 15 years old, so he has about 70 years of work full-time. And he loves it. He doesn't do it because he has to, but because he wants to do it. He loves feeling useful. So he's out on the farm from dawn to dusk. Then he comes home, has dinner, does some paperwork on the side as well. but now he has to take a big nap in the middle of the day. and they reckon that the day he stops working is the day he'll die. Because he's just that kind of guy. He does not want to stop working. It's fascinating that people have such differing attitudes to work. And it's worthwhile to think Christianly about our work. To ask the question, why do we work? And what does Jesus have to do with our work? And or how do we integrate our faith with our work? And work is obviously a significant part of our lives. Not only does it take 40, 50, 60 or more hours a week, when we're not at work, we're probably commuting to work, or thinking about work, or tired from work, or looking for other work. But work isn't just your job, although of course that is it. It's also, for example, if you're a student, then studying is your work right now. If you're a stay-at-home parent, then looking after your child and raising your child is your work right now. And it's a very important work. If you're unemployed and you're looking for work, then looking for work is your work right now. In fact, looking for work is one of the hardest kinds of work around, as those of you who've experienced that will know. So I hope that whatever your work is, that today the Holy Spirit, through the Word, will re-inspire, reinvigorate, and reorientate your thinking and feeling about your job, where you work, why you work, how you work, and who you work with and for. And if your work is so hard right now that you're not sure that you can last another week, or if you aren't sure what the point of your job is and you keep feeling like you're wasting all these hours and years doing something completely lame, or if you are having such success in your work that your heart is being enticed away from Jesus ever so subtly, or whatever it is that may be going for you in your work, I hope and pray that today the Holy Spirit will comfort or convict or both. And with that in mind, let's pray before we go any further. Father, we thank you for your word, and thank you that you created us, and that you created us to work as well, and be stewards of your creation. And we ask today that you would speak to each one of us individually. Please encourage us and grow us to know what work means regarding our faith in you. And I pray that whatever we do, that we honour you. Amen. Well, people work for many different reasons, and some common ones in our culture are these. So people work for personal fulfilment. They want to feel like they are a worthwhile person, so they do a job which they think is important in society, and that gives them some self-esteem. Other people work for reputation. You know, they want that prestige and that honour that comes with certain jobs and certain achievements in jobs. Other people work for consumption. In other words, they want to buy all these things and to fund the lifestyle, the lavish lifestyle that they've always dreamed of. So they choose a job based on the money that it will give them, even though they may hate the work itself and think it's pointless. Unfortunately, these reasons are not good. They don't satisfy anyone. In fact, they can turn work into a false god. You can go to work to find all your needs and have all your needs met, Work in that way, thinking of work that way will never satisfy you. And we saw how this happened when the GFC first hit in 2008. There were a string of tragic suicides of high-profile businessmen who, when everything went bad in their company, they felt responsible. They ended their lives because they felt like they had no reason left to live. Their sense of personal fulfillment was destroyed. Their money, their earnings were downgraded massively, and their reputation was in tatters. So that was their life. That was why they were living. And that's what drove them to that despair. But thankfully, there is more to the story. And what I want to do this afternoon is look at two things that our work is really for. It's not for those other things I just mentioned. And then I want to look at it from the other side and see how God's work transforms our work. So on your outline, I think the first purpose of work is it's a double-barrel purpose, and it's creation and community. So when God created the earth, he created man and woman to be the gardeners of the earth. And if you look at me at Genesis 1, I'll read 27 and 28. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves along the ground. So here we see that God has created us to work. And work is a good thing inherently. It may surprise some of you who are going through a hard patch to believe that right now. But creation, work is like bringing creation. Creation is bringing order and beauty out of chaos. It's like when God worked, he created the earth, and he created order and beauty out of a chaos, a watery chaos. On the other hand, this work is also for community. It's for others. When we work, when we be gardeners of the earth, putting things in order, making things beautiful, we are doing it for others implicitly. We rely and we benefit on each other's work. So, for example, a doctor couldn't spend his full-time job looking after people and healing them if there wasn't also a farmer doing his job full-time, growing food, to supply that doctor, that doctor's needs. So, I mean, we all rely on each other. So all of our work is work for other people, if that makes sense. That's why I'm saying work is for community, creation and community. I'll try and illustrate it another way. I heard a story about a guy named Tim who was driving along the highway, and he stopped at a rest stop, and he got out of the car, stretched his legs, and kind of realized how amazing this rest stop was. It was beautiful. All the gardens were perfect, the toilets were clean, everything was really nice, and he was just gobsmacked at how good it was, because he'd been to a few dodgy ones in his time where everything's unkempt and stinky and there's rubbish everywhere. So while he was marveling the rest stop, the maintenance worker who looked after that rest stop arrived and started doing some work around the place. So Tim went up to him and said, mate, thanks so much for the good job you're doing here. I really appreciate it. And the guy said to him, you know, if we keep these rest stops clean, then more people will stop. Mm-hmm. So you can see what he's doing there. His work is a work of creation and community. So as he looks after the garden, as he does the work of watering, you know, maintaining the garden, pulling out the weeds, as he removes the rubbish, as he cleans the bathrooms, that's the work of creation. But it's also a work of community because it's for other people. You see, he knows that if he makes it nice and beautiful, more people will stop, which means the rate of car accidents will decrease, and he'll probably save lives by doing his work. And not only that, he'll make a lot of families' lives happier when they're driving past with screaming kids in the car and there's in a break, you know, and he's providing that for them because nobody wants to stop at some dodgy, stinky rest stop in some highway somewhere. So you see how work here is a work of creation and community. It's both at the same time. And we each need to think about how our individual work is a work of creation and community. We each need to be theological experts on our particular work. And in doing so, I believe that we'll be the best people in our fields, because I don't think anything can reach its full potential without being transformed by Christ. So let's see how it works out in example that one of you may be going through in your job. So let's just say you're an advertiser, you work in advertising, and one of your clients is Telstra, and you're creating ads for Telstra. How does that relate to creation and community? What is the purpose of that? Well, as an advertiser, your job is to communicate clearly and effectively and nicely. So that's what you're doing. You're trying to make things simple and clear, communicate well. And that is good for people. It's good when things are obvious and clear to people. And so, therefore, it's a work of community. Furthermore, you're advertising products like internet connections and mobile phones, which are, on the whole, quite good for the community. So your work is a work of creation, making things nice and ordered, and community by blessing other people. So you see how anyone's job, you can think about how it's going to relate the work of creation and community. But your work relates to creation and the community in other ways, particularly community, because when you work, you earn money, as you know. That's good. And this money you use for other people. So your work contributes to community that way as well, through the money that you earn. Let's read a couple of verses there on the side. Ephesians 4:28. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. And the next one, 1 Timothy 5:8. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That is full on, isn't it? If you don't provide for your relatives and your household by earning money and looking after them, then you're worse than an unbeliever. Now, of course, if you're unemployed, you're trying hard to get work to look after people, and that's great as well, and God knows that. But this is a opposition to people who are idle, who just want to do nothing in their life. That's not what it means to be a Christian. So seeing now that we know some of the purposes for our work, we can evaluate what makes some work bad. Now, work is bad if it persistently disorders creation, if it persistently makes a mess of things. And kind of related to that, work is bad if it damages or destroys communities through destruction of people or families or habitats, or by such enormous time demands that communities other than the workplace become impossible. And work is bad when it's nothing but toilsome, when it doesn't contribute to the order of creation or the order of community. It doesn't make good in those two things. So you can't work out what makes work bad unless you know what work is for. We just need to think through our individual workplaces. Now, I suspect that, I know there's no perfect workplace, and all of our work is going to cross over into these kind of bad things here and there. And we need to work out how we as Christians can try and reorientate our work to be better for community, better for creation. Sometimes there's going to be cases when work is so bad that you need to leave. And that should be done with prayer and in consultation with other Christians to know if it really is that bad. Now, the second aspect to work, so I've just said work is for creation and community. Work is for God as well. Now, be careful here, as you can guess, if you know some stuff. The work of God really means living for Jesus. It's our life as Christians. So it's an all-of-life thing. It's not just something you do for a few hours a day. This is the kind of work that happens while you're at your work, at your job, and also while you're at home and having fun at leisure or whatever. It is proclaiming the glory of God through Christ in word and deed. That's the work of God. It's loving your co-workers and customers with the love of Christ, and that includes sharing the gospel with them. So God has put you where you are in your workplace so that you can be a light to those around you while you work together in the work of creation and community. And work of God includes prayer, praying for people, praying for your work colleagues, praying for your work, praying for church, praying for mission, praying for all those things. That is the work of God as well. Now, if we're going to do the work of God in our workplaces, in our secular jobs, then we must be subversive. We can't just walk in, get on the soapbox, and start preaching the gospel, because our culture can't take that, you know, and it's probably going to be counterproductive. We need to be clever about how we do this. And I love this story that I heard about a Christian teacher in a school, and he hated the culture of corrosive and crude humour, the talk that was going on. every day, and it's just wearing him down. So instead of getting on his high moral ground and telling him off for being crude and crude jokers, what he did was he tried to change the culture of that staff room. So every morning he would read the opinion pages of the newspaper, and then he would think about what the Christian response to that opinion was. And he would get into the staff room, and then he would bring up that topic of discussion. And they'd have real meaningful conversation about real meaningful things, instead of just crude and corrosive humour. And one day, though, he wasn't in the staff room because he was on playground duty. And this is a duty that teachers don't really like that much. So they prefer to be in the staff room. So he was very surprised when another colleague from that staff room came up to him while he was on playground duty. And he was shocked, and he asked the colleague, "What are you doing here? You know, why are you here?" And they said, "That staff room, it's just not worth it when you're not around." And I just love that story. You know, that's a way to shine the light of Jesus in a workplace kind of thing. People notice it. That's how your work is missional. You know, think about you're not just being a mission on church and then you're working and it's got nothing to do with mission. No, your work has got to do with the mission of God, and you think through how that's going to work. So that's something we'll talk more about around our community groups and around church. Now, the work of God includes the way in which you work, if I can feel like that. It's a bit confusing, but anyway. So it's the way in which you do the work of creation and community. It's like your attitude. Are you thankful to God while you're working, or are you always mumbling, groaning, complaining? It's also working to ensure your company is not having negative impacts on other people. It's also having the character of Christ in your workplace, having the honesty, integrity, faithfulness, and compassion which Christ had. And it's working for God ultimately as you do the work of creation and community. I love that verse in Colossians 3:23. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And I just want to make a point as well that the work of creation, community, and the work of God are very integrated. And I think in the past, people have told everyone, go into full-time ministry, quit your secular job, kind of thing. And that's kind of been unhelpful. I think some people need to leave their secular job and go into full-time vocational ministry. Other people shouldn't. But we need people everywhere doing things. And all these works are valuable to God and equal in God's sight. It's not like you're more holy if you go become a minister. And I want to make the point that you can't be a minister, or you can't do the work of God without also having the work of creation and community as well. For example, if you want to send an encouraging email to somebody in church, and encourage them in their faith in God, that's a work of God, I'm calling that. You can't do that unless there's a million other works of creation and community going on. First of all, you have to be born, and that requires parents, and that's a work of creation and community. Then it's to raise you, feed you. That requires farmers as well to grow food. It requires a whole lot of logistics of truck drivers and supermarket workers to get the food to you. It also requires teachers to teach you how to read and write so you can actually write stuff to people and encourage them in their faith. It requires computer technicians and factory workers who make computers, and engineers and programmers to make the stuff that sends emails. I don't know how that works, but anyway. You need a lot of people doing works of creation and community in order for you to do the work of God. You know, it's so integrated. That's why all this work is valuable like that, okay? I don't want you to think that if you're not a full-time minister, you're a second-class citizen. That is not true. We are all equal in God's sight, and we all are valuable, and we need to work together in this. Okay. But the most important work of all, this is my third point, is that God works for us. We saw that how he created the world. That's his work. 6 days of work. And then 7 days he rested from his work and enjoyed it. And the Bible says in Psalm 19 that the heavens declare the glory of God. The sky proclaims the work of his hands. So the creation is God's work. But when God became man, he still worked. See, Jesus was a carpenter. I think sometimes we can forget that. Because the images of Jesus in contemporary pop culture are of him with long flowing hair, kind of ethereal, kind of hippie dude, and didn't look like he did any work in his entire life. But that's not true. He didn't look like that, and he would have been muscly, I would imagine, from all the hand tools. He would have had calluses on his hands from like 15, 20 years of making tables and chairs and building houses, you know. he grew up working with his dad. But his ultimate work, his most important work, of course, was his work on the cross. That was his triumph over sin, death, and evil through his death on the cross. His work was to redeem us, to pay our ransom, to rescue us from the dominion of darkness and the enslavement to sin and evil which we found ourselves. And so Jesus' work for us changes everything for us, including our work. Our work is transformed by Jesus. And because now we are freed from the need to earn God's favor, because God is already pleased with us in Jesus. We are freed from the need to impress other people through reputation and status in our work, because we already have great the esteem of the most important person, that is God. We are free from having our identity caught up in our job. We are secure in Jesus, and we are a child of God. That's our identity. It doesn't matter anymore if our work goes bad and it crashes around us, because we're freed from the need to be caught up in that. We are free because of this work of Jesus, this work of God. And this is what we call grace, undeserved gift. It's sad that many people are working their jobs in order to gain wealth and reputation among people, in order to find a sense of meaning in their life and identity. But we don't need that anymore, because we are esteemed and loved by Christ. So now, therefore, our work is done not to earn God's favor, but in a response to Him, because He first loved us, He first created us, and then He redeemed us. And so we want to be involved in His world, doing good, doing the works of creation and community, being creative, having fun while we work, and honouring Him in that. Not because we want to earn it, but because we want to show our love for Him, because we love Him. He first loved us. That is the motivation for our work now. That changes it. And as we know, work can be terribly hard and painful, and that's because work is also under the curse. So we read on in Genesis 3, we saw how when Adam and Eve ate that fruit, God put a curse over the world because they rebelled against Him, and that included the work that they were to do. And so God says to Adam, you'll work by the sweat of your brow. It'll be hard. It'll be thorns and thistles. Before it was going to be easier and nice and fun and not frustrating, but now it's going to be a real pain at times. And so we're all going to experience that in our work. We need to be ready for that. But in that hardship of work, we need to remember that Jesus is our rest in place. I love the verse in Matthew 11:28 when Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." So when you are struggling with work, go to Jesus. Rest in Him. Don't go to alcohol, drugs, accumulating material possessions. They won't give you rest. Jesus will give you rest. So, something to meditate on further. Jesus' work for us infuses us with purpose and reminds us that because of Him, our life is not futile or meaningless. Rather, we have an awesome privilege to work and be creative on this earth as we bring order out of chaos and we help create and sustain communities of love and care. And of course, while we work, we get to bring honor and glory to Him, and I think that's wonderful. I'm going to pray now. Father, we thank You that You created us to work, and that we get to work and be creative, bring order out of chaos, bring beauty out of disorder, and that we get to bless other people through our work and contribute to the community, and also to use the money that we earn to build up body of Christ, but also look after our family. And we thank You that we get to honor You in our work. And I just pray that whatever situation our work is in at the moment, You would teach us the way forward through problems. Help us to know how we can glorify You in our work. Amen. Well, I said that the question time, so if anyone has a question, you're welcome to ask it. Yes.
Hey, Zach, good picture. I was just wondering, in particular, if you're looking at this church here and this demographic of who are young, the workers in Sydney, what do you think of the bigger threats, or attractive to the fall into, and also what are the the opportunities that you've got as well. Just in particular, Sydney workers.
So the question is, what are the threats and opportunities that younger Sydney workers, particularly around here, are having at the moment, in my opinion? Is that right?
Yeah.
I guess workplace culture can be a bit of a threat, and I found that when I was working in the city, in terms of the alcohol culture, you know, going out every Friday, and then, like in my company, they put on free drinks every month and go nuts kind of thing, and everyone just trying to get as drunk as they could, as quickly as they could, and it's easy to get swept up in that kind of thing, but also other kind of cultural things, like gossiping and, you know, putting each other down, and those kind of cultural things. When you are alone, or you're maybe the only Christian in a bunch of people like that, it's very easy to be swept up in the culture. So we need to be thinking critically about it and thinking through how we can shine the light of Jesus in that, and also sharing our workplace struggles with our friends, our community group, and get their advice and input on that as well. I think that's one of the threats. There are probably other threats as well. I mean, I think the time work takes is a struggle to work out how we be Christian when I'm working 70 hours a week right now. And I think I'm tired, you know. I think that one is an issue we need to talk about more. Opportunities, there's a lot of opportunities. I think especially for young workers around here, a lot of people around here are working in culture-making industries like advertising, design, architecture, and, you know, media. And they're all industries, and other industries as well, and teaching as well, can have a massive impact directly on culture. And culture flows out of cities. So it's places like this that we create the culture here, and then it filters out through TV, through everything, onto the wider world and through the wider country. So we have an opportunity as Christians here to change that culture in a big way by being Christians in our workplaces. So I think that is exciting. It's an opportunity that we do have. Yeah.